talked about how you got into the banking business, and the first one was First State Bank of Noble. You made the deal there, and did that work, your 50% of profit and all?
Well, yes, I was very successful because the man who owned the bank, I discovered, was bipolar and not very popular in the community and needed someone like myself. So it was fairly easy to materially increase the business of the bank. I also, using my personality and curiosity and energy, immediately got involved in getting acquainted and networking the banking industry. After I'd been there in Noble 3 years, I met this young man who had purchased his grandmother's bank in Purcell, just 15 miles down the road. He had borrowed the money to pay for it and had immediately gotten in financial trouble. His note had been called by the First National Bank, and he had to sell the bank. I had gotten well enough acquainted with him. I said, well, fine, I'll just buy it. Of course, I didn't have the ability. But we sat in a restaurant, maybe a bar, I don't recall, scratched out a contract on a napkin. I wrote him a check for $5,000 and set off to find how I would finance the acquisition of that bank.
So you wrote a bad check at the moment.
No, no. I'd been overseas enough years that I'd accumulated a little cash.
But did you have the $5,000?
Yeah, I had $5,000.
Oh, you did have it, $5,000.
Yeah. And I think, as a matter of fact, I borrowed $5,000 from my father-in-law. But I owned a good bit of real estate at that
time. All right.
I was in pretty good shape.
A check for $5,000?
That was the escrow money for his agreement to sell me that bank, subject to my ability to finance it.
Who was that you were dealing with?
Ralph Ellinger.
So how then does that work for you at Purcell? You still have Noble?
Well, no, I was just an employee at Noble with a profit-sharing arrangement.
Oh, okay.
I simply, at the end of 3 years, gave notice that I was leaving, moving on to Purcell, where I'd acquired the bank.
Tell me then how that worked. The bank was in trouble?
It had bad assets that was not generating enough income, or any income really, for this young man to pay himself enough dividend to pay his debt.
So there were a lot of bad loans you were collecting?
Yes, bad loans. That's when a bank is in trouble, it's because it made too many bad loans.
And you went out to collect?
Well, after we signed the contract and I was able to put the financing together, yes, I sat in motion collecting and recollateralizing all the things you can do to correct the situation, and was quite successful in doing so.
Some people thought, really, do I have to pay this back?
I remember my capstone story of that experience. There was a person by the name of Melvin Fisher who had a nightclub in the south banks of the Canadian River, which means he was in McLean County. His father was a second or third generation bootlegger. And Melvin had a nightclub. Ralph Ellinger, who enjoyed drinking and partying, had loaned Melvin Fisher the money to build a nightclub. And of course, Melvin didn't pay. He probably never had any intention. So I was faced with, how do I deal with Melvin Fisher? There are many customers that were simply need help, so he's not typical. I got acquainted with Melvin, and Melvin said, well, you know, I'm not going to pay. So I sued Melvin Fisher. The nightclub's in the floodplain of the Canadian River. I'm not sure how enforceable a mortgage we had, but I sued Melvin. Melvin said, you better protect your children because I'm not going to pay, and you may pay a price. The sheriff deputized me, my wife, and a guy named A.B. Green, who, tough as could be, but he had founded a company, I think it was Quality Oil Company, I'm not sure, which he sold out ultimately to one of the large oil companies, became very wealthy. But he sent word to this Melvin Fisher, if anything happens to Gene, if he as much as gets a sprained ankle, you're dead. So Melvin sort of backed off, and we ultimately worked through it and worked out, and he paid. But the interesting thing about that, he also was the first man to hijack an American airline and went to federal prison for hijacking an airline. By that time, I'd moved to Shawnee. And after he got out of prison, he came over to Shawnee and said, Gene, I need to borrow some money. I said, you're insane. I wouldn't loan. He said, well, I paid you. I did not lend him any money. But back again to Purcell, because of the problem bank, it established my reputation and my understanding of what it took to correct the problems in a problem bank. So I developed a reputation with regulators, with bankers, for being the go-to person when a bank was in trouble.
You really needed that experience, didn't you?
Oh, I did.
As you look forward to it.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
That experience is what really created where we are today.
Isn't that amazing? And we don't realize at the moment what's happening to us.
Well, I tell people, did you plan this? Not a bit. I just had my rear up, my head down, working.
Yeah.
I didn't plan anything.
You were just working. Did you have hobbies? Did you go off and play golf or baseball?
I did two things in my life. I worked and I paid attention to my children. Didn't play golf. Don't play golf. Considered a waste of time. If I had a hobby, it was reading.
Many are working and they can hardly wait to get off and go do that. And that wasn't you at all.
Not at all.
Work, work, work. But it was enjoyable for you. It was fun.
Work is my life. And it was my life from a very young age.
Yeah. You took great satisfaction from
Absolutely.
The results that came about. You could have run for the mayor of Purcell at that time.
Oh, I'd been elected. We learned another thing, and that is the work to attract industry to a community. Purcell is a little sleepy town, and we attracted a couple of major factories. And that's a pretty good reputation.
Yeah.
And then I moved from there to Shawnee.
Were you the only bank in town?
No, there was a much larger bank in Purcell.
So you were up against them from the beginning?
Yeah. If you're the smallest, you get better and bigger.
What was your argument against banking with the biggest bank in town?
Well, better service, more responsive, more involvement in the community. They sit and wait for you, we come for you.
What a great experience for you.